evening, America. Welcome to the show. This is Mark Levine. This is likely the last time I'll have a chance to talk with you until Election Day 2012. It's just around the corner. Hard to believe. It is just, what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 5 days away. The nation will go to the polls. The election is likely to be very close. And I wanted to have this last opportunity to talk with you. First of all, I wanted to expose a story that you may not have heard before and hasn't been much talk in the mainstream media, and that is the meningitis scare. You know that 29 people are dead, almost 400 people infected, injured, or dead. And what you may not know is that Mitt Romney played a major role in allowing that company to spread its infected steroid medications, the kind that caused all these deaths. We're going to get to that and give you all the details about that in just a few minutes. Also, we're going to talk about the economy and why it's doing better and why I think President Obama deserves credit for that. It's actually doing far better than you may think. And generally talk about the philosophy that I think you should keep in mind when going into the voting booth. Before I get to all of that, I do want to say my heart goes out to all of you who were in any way harmed by Hurricane Sandy. Sitting here right next to Washington, D.C., we got a lot of wind and rain, but really not that big a deal for us. We had a little bit of power loss. I myself lost power for maybe 15 minutes. That's nothing, I know, compared to the devastation, particularly in the states of New Jersey and New York, but also in Delaware and other parts around the country. I know, particularly in New York City, and I know many of you listen to this show from New York City, there are whole parts of Manhattan still out of power. The subways are flooded. And New Jersey, of course, which also hears our signal, has been devastated. If you are from one of those states, if you have personally been harmed by Hurricane Sandy, you will get priority when you call in. Just let our call screeners know, and we'll make sure you get to the top of the list. I think the hurricane has taught us some real lessons. I imagine there may even be some of you that are listening to my voice right now with no power because, you know, transistor radios, battery-operated radios can work without power. It's actually a great way to get information when you don't have power. The hurricane, I think, is a lesson for us, about when you need help. There's no clearer example of when people need government help than a hurricane. Now, again, government, that word itself seems so distant, seems so formal, seems so out of control. But what is government? In a democracy, in the United States of America, government is us. Government is we, the people. Government should be and can be of the people, by the people, and for the people. As Abraham Lincoln famously said in his Gettysburg Address, this is your country. So if you don't like the government, then go out and change it, to be sure. But don't see government as the enemy. To see government as the enemy is to see your country as the enemy, is to see your fellow Americans as the enemy. If you don't like the particular politicians, by all means, vote them out. Vote new ones in that you believe in, that you trust, that you think would have a good judgment in times of crisis. But don't vote against the idea of government. To vote against the idea of government is to vote against the idea of America. It's to say that, in effect, you believe in anarchy, that you believe we should be ungoverned. The anarchy, of course, is very clear in the middle of a hurricane, when the winds and the rains and the floods are destroying homes, are destroying lives. And the American people have given very high marks to the President of the United States for being on the ball. He, of course, has completely suspended campaigning and has been there day and night, helping to make sure that the red tape is cut, that people are getting what they need. Even Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, who, of course, is a Republican, who has been one of the strongest supporters of Mitt Romney and opponents of Barack Obama, threw that all out the window. When his state needed help, he called the President of the United States, and the President of the United States was there for New Jersey 3-4 times a day. And Chris Christie, to his credit, acknowledged the tremendous help that Barack Obama had been to the state of New Jersey, just as he has been for everyone. But what a hurricane tells you is that you need help. You need FEMA. You need the Federal Emergency Management Association. You need them there. You need first responders. You need police officers to stop looting. You need firefighters to stop. I know there was a tremendous, horrible fire right there in New York. You need the government. People bond together and pay taxes to pay for public servants like firefighters and FEMA workers and police officers and others, EMT, emergency management people, who've saved a lot of lives in this horrible crisis. And let's recall, as we must, the difference between these candidates. Barack Obama, everyone knows, has been very good in this crisis. Bill Clinton was actually very good during Hurricane Andrew in the 90s. George Bush, the Republicans, he appointed not someone in charge of federal emergency management, someone who, like Obama and Clinton, appointed people who had been involved in management for years and years and years. In fact, Obama even appointed a Republican because he was good at emergency management. He didn't look at the guy's partisan record. He looked at his performance on the job. The Republicans, you'll recall, George Bush appointed Mike Brown. Remember
Brownie,
Brown?
You're doing a heck of a job.
Michael Brown was an Arabian horse trader, someone who'd given a lot of money to the Bush campaign. Because Republicans don't believe in government, they tend to appoint in government people who give them a lot of money rather than competent people. Now look at Mitt Romney. When Mitt Romney was asked in the Republican primaries whether or not he believes that FEMA should be abolished, his words were absolutely. Absolutely, he said. Not maybe or possibly. Absolutely, he said. Anything that can be done by the states should be done by the states instead of the federal government. And he felt that emergency management could be done by the states.
Mark, we actually have that clip, too. If you want, I can play it now.
You know what? Let's go ahead and play it then, Mark. Do you need some time to prepare it?
What else, Governor Romney? You've been a chief executive of state. I was just in Joplin, Missouri. I've been in Mississippi and Louisiana and Tennessee and other communities dealing with whether it's the tornadoes, the flooding, and worse. FEMA's about to run out of money, and there are some people who say do it on a case-by-case basis, and some people who say, you know, maybe we're learning a lesson here that the states should take on more of this role. How do you deal with something like that?
Absolutely. Every time you have an occasion to take something from the federal government and send it back to the states, that's the right direction. And if you can go even further and send it back to the private sector, that's even better. Instead of thinking in the federal budget, what we should cut, we should ask ourselves the opposite question. What should we keep? We should take all of what we're doing at the federal level and say, what are the things we're doing that we don't have to do? And those things we've got to stop doing.
So we have to stop doing federal emergency management. We have to stop using the federal government to protect us from hurricanes and tornadoes. And, hey, FEMA is pretty good at the oil spill. It's not just a question of the Atlantic seaboard, but the Gulf of Mexico as well. Let's get rid of FEMA, Romney says. Let's let the state of Delaware care for itself, even though the state of Delaware got pretty hard hit and doesn't have a very large population or infrastructure. But then he goes on. Listen to what the rest of what he said. I'm really glad that Mark Romali played the entire clip. He goes on to say, yes, we shouldn't do at the federal level what we can do at the state level, but we shouldn't do at the state level what private companies can do. If you could handle cleanup of all those horrible floods with private industry, let private industry do it. And that way millionaires can make sure that their beachfront houses get rid of all the silt and sand and flood and destruction. Middle-class people, unfortunately, would have all that destruction. Let the private industry do it. It's a great way of saying help the rich get richer, leave the rich because they're okay, and everyone else has to suffer. The hurricane also teaches us about infrastructure. One of the reasons why the New York subways flooded is because many of them haven't had an upgrade in, 50, 60, 70, sometimes 100 years. The New York subway is quite old. You know, you walked up and down the steps, you've seen that it's not compliant for Americans with disabilities. A lot of times trains are out. A lot of times subways are closed. We need new infrastructure, and one of the main things in the Obama Jobs Act that the Republicans refused to pass was helping our infrastructure, helping our bridges, helping things like levees to protect not just New Orleans, but some places in New Jersey as well. We need infrastructure, and that's another thing that Romney's against. Remember, he wants to add $7 trillion to the deficit, $2 trillion in defense, $5 trillion in tax cuts to the rich. I know he says all kinds of things about that, but his numbers don't add up. If you're to believe Mitt Romney, you're to believe that he wants the $5 trillion tax cut to the rich, but the rich won't actually save any taxes when he cuts their taxes 20%, and he's going to reduce the deficit by $10 trillion. And if you believe all of that, I would like to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, because I can get it for you at quite a bargain at $500. Pay me $500, and I'll give you a title to the Brooklyn Bridge. Because if you believe that Mitt Romney's telling the truth, I'm sorry, you're an idiot. We all know he's lying. Most Republicans that support him know he's lying. And anyone that believes him, well, you just don't know simple math. So think about the role of government. Think about whether you think you'd want the police and the firefighters. Would you want to call 911 if you had an emergency? Or do you think that you should rely on your state to do that? Or maybe a private industry to do that? Do you really want private industry controlling your emergencies? As we mourn the terrific loss of life in Hurricane Sandy, we can at least take some comfort in knowing it could have been much, much worse. That the government is on the ball, has been on the ball, and frankly has regulations to do things like get people out of flood zones, to warn people of an impending hurricane, to have things like the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration that goes and predicts these hurricanes and predicted so well exactly where this hurricane would hit, something that we couldn't even do 20, 30, 40 years ago. Government also protects us from harmful substances, whether it's drugs that companies make, whether it's pollutants in our air or our water. And coming up after the break, I have a story to share with you. I didn't come up with it. It's all in a wonderful article by Craig Unger in Salon.com that makes clear that the meningitis outbreak, you heard about that? 29 people dead, almost 400 infected. That was due to Mitt Romney's refusing to regulate a Massachusetts company. The refusal to regulate the environment or drug companies has consequences. As you decide your vote in this election, remember that oftentimes, regulation saves lives. And indeed, in the example I'm going to give when we come out from break, it would have saved the lives of 29 innocent people. This is Mark Levine. If you want to call in, please do so. It is 888-653-7543. 888-653-7543. During the commercial break, if you're at home, you can go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. Click on the link there, and you will get you'll get that Salon article that I'm going to talk about when we come back from break. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine talking about when government is actually useful. And one of the ways it's useful is helping to stem the damage from hurricanes. Another way it's useful is to regulate dangerous drugs. We're going to be going into the second half hour. I'm going to talk about a Salon article that pretty clearly shows that Mitt Romney is responsible largely for 29 needless deaths from a tainted drug that caused meningitis. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. First, I want to go to the phone lines, 888-653-7543. Jerry from Chicago, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking the call. Hey, my story is kind of anecdotal, but it's true. When I was in grade school, my family's house got flooded, and it lived in Palatine, Illinois, and there was a creek down the street, and it flooded, and there were no pumps to pump our house out. So we had to wait till we could be the highest next in line to get our house pumped down. We lost our house. But not only that, I remembered more of the story. Now they built a reservoir north of where this neighborhood is, and that lot in that neighborhood does not flood anymore because they can divert the floodwaters to this reservoir and not flood the neighborhoods. Now,
and let me guess, the people who built that reservoir was the government and not a private company, right?
No, it's not. That reservoir was built with tax dollars.
That's right. Thank you for my call, Jerry. You made my point clear as day. Jerry's home is saved largely because of these dollars, these tax dollars that you pay. Let me start the discussion on the meningitis scare, and then I'll probably have to continue it after the break because it's a long story and it's an interesting one. And again, the full story you can find in an article in Salon entitled "Romney's Lax Regulation May Have Fueled Meningitis Outbreak." At the time the article was written, which was 2 days ago, only 25 had died, As of now, 29 have died. And why have they died? They've died because a pharmaceutical company in Framingham, Massachusetts, called New England Compounding Company, made a drug that is so frequently used that I, myself, have used this drug. What this drug is, it's a kind of steroid. It's not an anabolic steroid. It's a kind of steroid that when you have spine trouble, they stick it in your back, and it makes you feel better. In my own neck, actually, I had some of the cartilage had worn away. And what it does is it stops the swelling, so that this shot that I had with this drug actually kept me from being in pain for about a year and a half. So it's a very useful thing. It's one that I'm glad I took. Unfortunately, for 400 Americans, they didn't just get that drug. They got the drug tainted with a fungus that calls meningitis, a very deadly brain disease. And caused because this company, the New England Compounding Company, didn't sterilize its equipment. You think that's pretty basic for a drug company? Nope, they made stuff with unsterilized equipment. Now, you might say, well, you know, these things happen. A company is negligent. It happens. People die. What you may not know is this company had been cited 6 times in the past by Massachusetts officials. And it's only because of the intervention of one Mitt Romney they were allowed to stay in business. Again, 6 times, a company makes a mistake once, you think, okay, that's one mistake. Twice, you think, well, twice, that's not good. 3 times, well, that starts to bear a pattern. But once it gets to 4, 5, and 6 times, it seems to me that that company ought to be stopped. 2 times, by the way, were verified by the Food and Drug Administration, a federal agency, verifying that the company failed to undergo the kinds of basic standards and protections that drug companies should undergo when they make drugs. And this very drug, the very steroid that goes into the brain, this very drug was tainted in one of the 6 complaints. So the Massachusetts regulatory authorities went in and said, you know what? We're going to discipline you publicly so that people know that you're a bad company, and we're going to suspend your probation for 3 years. But the Massachusetts Board of Registration in Pharmacy has its members appointed by the governor. And New England Company wrote Governor Romney and asked him to overturn that regulation. What did he do? The rest of the story when we come back. 888-653-7543. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. The name of the drug is methylprednisolone acetate. It's a steroid compound often used to alleviate back pain. But this one had a fungus in it. It was tainted, a fungus that caused meningitis, which is a very deadly brain disease. We have 29 dead, almost 400 infected, and the numbers are growing. At the time this article in Salon was written, only 25 were dead. 4 have died in just the 2 days since this article came out. And a federal agency, you know, one of those ones that Mitt Romney wants to ban, a federal agency traced the fungus to the New England Compounding Center in Framingham, Massachusetts, a pharmaceutical company that had shipped out 17,000 vials of the tainted drug to 76 different facilities throughout the country. Who knows how many more people will die from this? Now, as I reported before the break, they had 6 separate allegations of unsterilized equipment, of not doing the very basic things a pharmaceutical company should do to make sure that its medicines were safe. And the Massachusetts Department of Health and the Massachusetts Board of Regulation and Pharmacy threatened to discipline them, as a good government agency should do, and to put them on probation for 3 years. But then the company sent a letter. They sent a letter to Mitt Romney. They sent a letter to the Massachusetts Board of Registration, which, by the way, of course, was appointed by Mitt Romney when he was governor. And they said, look, if you discipline us publicly, that's really going to hurt our business. No one's going to want to have business with us if they know that 6 separate people have become ill because we don't sterilize our equipment. So we'll make you a deal. Governor Romney. We'll make you a deal, Massachusetts. The deal will be something like this. You won't have to bear the cost of regulating us. We'll bear that cost. We'll save you taxpayer money. We will regulate ourselves. And Romney's registration board agreed. Instead of giving them a 3-year probation, they cut it down to 1. And most importantly, instead of being a public discipline, a public disciplinary record, they gave them a private reprimand. A private reprimand. Think how effective a private reprimand is. Please don't kill people again. Please don't infect people again. Well, this was Romney's decision, and frankly, it's consistent with his mode of government. He's always talking about making regulations more lax. Well, I'll tell you this. The company, the New England Compounding Company, is very grateful. They've been big donors to the Romney campaign and even bigger donors to the campaign of Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, who is one of 10 senators to sign a letter to the Drug Enforcement Agency, that's the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency, arguing that regulations on drug manufacturers should be loosened. So the company's doing very well. Now, a bunch of people who are dead and their heirs may sue the company, but don't worry. If they sue the company, like all corporations, has limited liability. That's one of those great things that corporations have that individuals don't have. It's a way that corporations, I guess, are superior to individuals. They can kill you and not suffer for it because the owners of the corporations, the people who made the decision, are protected by limited liability. As Mitt Romney would say, corporations are people, my friend. They are immortal people who can kill without consequences. When you vote this Tuesday, think about a government that supports regulating drug companies to make sure they don't kill people, and think about a government that wants to protect corporate profits, even if those corporations are making calculations. Well, if we kill so many people, it might cost us this, but if we actually have to sterilize our equipment, it'll cost more, so we choose to kill the people and to spend money on politicians like Mitt Romney who won't regulate us. Think about those things when you vote this Tuesday. And if you want to read the article, and I highly recommend you do, you can do it in the commercial break, you can do it when we're off the air in a few minutes, just go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. I've also tweeted it. If you follow me on Twitter, at marklevinetalk, MarkLevineTalk, you can read the article for yourself. It's powerful. It's scary. How many more people will die? Now, I'm not saying Mitt Romney intended to kill those people. I'm not saying he's so crass. What I am saying is that he believes so much in corporate profits that he's largely indifferent to the real human cost. As I said, I had that drug. I had that shot in my own back of my neck. And thank God that my hospital didn't buy from the Framingham, Massachusetts company because I might be dead right now. So this, I got to say, this touches me personally.
Mark, I actually had that same shot today, believe it or not, for my back.
You had it today?
Yeah, I've had two of them in the last 2 months, and when I read the initial story, I was really nervous. But now I read this, and it's just unbelievable.
It's a very common medication, and it works well. I got to say, the shot works well. It, like I said, cured my pain for more than a year and a half, but not doesn't work well when it's infected with a fungus that kills you. So Mark has also had it, and probably many of our listeners have too.
Absolutely.
You want a government making sure that you don't die from a routine back shot, or do you want a government like Mitt Romney that says, you know, let the states do it, and if they can't do it, let the people do it? And remember, by the way, that in states, and Massachusetts tends to be a very blue state, remember, the board wanted to discipline this company until it was overruled by the governor. But remember that one of the things Republicans want is they want things controlled by the states because a lot of times the Republican governors, Republican legislatures who can work without people really noticing what they're doing, and in doing so can cause a lot of harm to you and make a lot of profits for corporations who then turn around and plow those profits back into the campaigns of those same people. Again, ask yourself, is this what you want when you vote on Tuesday? Okay, I got a bunch of calls. Before I get to them, I'll take a quick break, give others a chance to call in, and then I'll take as many calls as I can on to the end of the hour, 888-653-7543. Anything relating to the election or the meningitis scare or the hurricane, it's all fair game. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine talking about the choice coming up this Tuesday. Lots of callers on the line, 888-653-7543. Let's start from Alan from Gary, Indiana, on line 5. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Yeah, hi, Mark. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Hey, sir, I did have something I listened to. Your Massachusetts. Aren't most of the legislature in Massachusetts Democrats?
Yes, and the Board of Regulation of Pharmacy is appointed by Mitt Romney. So what happened is the governor-appointed administrative office are the people who let this horrible company go.
Oh, okay, well, that's interesting. I did want to talk about the East Coast, you know, and I think Christian, the president, acted presidential. I mean, that's what he should be doing, and he got together with Christian. That's great. So nobody should be criticizing Christie for making any comments.
Absolutely not. I'm praising Christie.
And I agree with you there, Mark.
Did you know that Rush Limbaugh criticized him and said that he was in, well, he made some snark allusion that he was gay or something and liked Obama. It's typical Rush Limbaugh
so
junk.
He shouldn't have said that, Mark. But I want to get into Benghazi. I have not heard anybody talk about Benghazi on the liberal front, and
I talk about it all the time. You haven't been listening to me. What do you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about this last kind of letter that they found. That, you know, they were asking for people to come in and do something, and nobody did anything.
There's going to be a full investigation, as well there should be, as to why there was not enough protection there.
Uh-huh.
You do know the history of that particular consulate. It's not an embassy. It was a consulate, and it was kind of an ad hoc thing because when the Obama administration supported the Libyan revolution, why is his name escaping me? The very brave ambassador Chris Stevens came and actually took a secret boat there. He took a Greek fishing boat to get in behind the lines. He actually went to Benghazi at a time when Gaddafi was still ruling in Tripoli. So the whole thing was kind of slapdash and was put together. It was not meant to be a permanent place. Notwithstanding all of that, there definitely should have been protection. In hindsight, it's easy to see, just like in hindsight when our embassies were bombed under Bill Clinton, or when, frankly, after September 11th, it's easy to see that we had holes in our security. 3,000 Americans died to Al-Qaeda. Now, I think every president has undergone a terrorist attack under their watch, and every president should and has worked hard to make sure there are no more holes in our security, and I'm pretty sure President Obama will do the same. Do you have a particular criticism, then?
I want to make sure this does not happen again.
Absolutely, and I assure you the president does, and Hillary Clinton does. You don't dispute that they want to do their best to make sure this doesn't happen again. I mean, Chris Stevens and the other three were real American heroes.
Right, and I agree with that. So I just want to hear more rhetoric on it, that's all.
Hey, yeah. Mark, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Stefan in New York City. Stefan, I hope you have power.
Yes, I do have power. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine, yes. What's your question or comment?
I have a political question for you.
Okay.
I'm really curious. What is your opinion? What do you think Obama needs as far as Democratic turnout to win the election? And what I mean by that is what percentage Democratic turnout exceeding the Republican turnout would Obama need, do you think, to win?
Well, I think he would need the same percentage by which Americans identify with the Democratic Party over the Republican Party. See, what's interesting, people talk about when the polls, a lot of times they say, well, they're out-sampling Democrats. These polls are skewed because there's more Democrats in the polls than Republicans. The answer is there are more Americans who identify as Democrats than Republicans. It ranges, but it's between about 4 and 8%, depending on which poll you take. That doesn't mean the country isn't 50-50 split. It is. In fact, if you ask America, Americans, whether they're more conservatives or liberals, there are far more Americans that identify as conservatives than liberals. So if you had equal liberals and conservatives in the polling place, then the Democrats would do very well. If you had equal Republicans and Democrats, the Republicans would do very well. But all it really means is the country is split about half and half, and many people who self-identify as moderates, many more of them identify as Democrats than Republicans. So we actually have a country that's about, 35% Democrats, maybe 28% Republicans, and the other 40, I have to check my math, but 40-something percent or so is independents. But that doesn't mean that you should look at the numbers and say, more Democrats turned out or more Republicans turned out. The better number to look at is the percentage of people who support Obama who turn out. That's your clear number. If you look at a poll and say, do you support Obama and did you vote, that's going to be a much more accurate number than looking at the number of Democrats per se. Because like I said, 8% or 4%, 4 to 8% more Americans identify as Democrats than Republicans, and just as 15 or 20% more Americans identify as conservative than liberal, but those are just terms, and those don't accurately decide who actually votes in the voting booth. Did I make it clear? It's a little complicated. Did you follow that?
Yeah, I think I did. I guess I just keep hearing that same rhetoric over and over again. It depends on turnout. You know, I keep hearing people speculate who's going to win this election. It depends on turnout if the Democrats...
Well, turnout's very important, and it's very important that the same people who voted last 4 years vote again. One of the things I'm most concerned about as an Obama supporter is youth turnout. The young people, the young demographic is by far the heaviest age demographic in support of the president. The 18 to 30 crowd supports the president by some 60 to 40%, and that's much bigger than any other age demographic. As you get older, people tend to support Republicans more. So absolutely, people need to get out, Latinos need to get out, blacks need to get out, but really, people who support Obama need to get out. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, then you want fundamentalist Christians to get out, you want Mormons to get out, you want white men to work it out, you want millionaires to get out. So each side is going to try to get their side out. And the answer really will be comparing them to how they were 4 years ago. I think that's a better metric than just taking numbers of Democrats and Republicans, because let's face it, there are a lot of conservative Democrats in the South, and the people who are making the real decision are not the Democrats or the Republicans. They're the independents. They're the ones who are going to decide the election.
Interesting.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate
one more question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
How do the pollsters determine, you know, in their when they do their surveys, whether someone is turning out from a Democrat or a Republican?
They ask them. And people
can
lie.
They just ask them and take their word at it, and that's how they report in?
Well, the idea is that most people don't lie to pollsters because most people want their candidate to win and are proud to sort of say who they want. So, but people can lie to pollsters. Sometimes in some tricky primary races, it's more likely that people lie to pollsters because you might want to get the weaker candidate in your opposing party to win. But the best way to do it is to take the numbers, and then they always ask demographic questions like your age, your gender, your race, and then they use the national census oftentimes to say, aha, well, we should have 12% blacks and 15% Latinos and 50-50 men and women, whatever it is, and that way they make sure that the sample matches the national sample. But, of course, that's imperfect as well, and some pollsters, like Rasmussen, don't even call cell phones, which is a crazy idea in 2012, given that so many Americans only have cell phones. And because of that, he doesn't poll youth as much, since young people are more likely to have a cell phone and lack a landline, and that's why his polls are consistently 2 to 3 points pro-Republican, and I would recommend you not really follow his particular polls. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Eric from Chicago. Hi, Eric. Line 3. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? First, I want to say I was seeing you speak about these drug companies and how they hide behind these LLCs, and I think you are absolutely right. There needs to be something done about that. You know, where they can't keep dodging responsibility and basically basing the rules based on calculations of finance.
But
yeah, well, that's exactly what goes on. And I'll tell you, that's exactly how a company does it. They say, well, if we kill these people, there'll be a lawsuit, but if we kill mostly working class people, their lives don't matter as much.
Yep.
And the courts are very clear.
Yep.
If you kill a millionaire, you have to pay millions
and
millions of dollars. You kill a homeless man. It's not that much.
This whole love fest with Chris Christie and President Obama. Chris Christie, you know, that whole thing is a setup to me. Chris Christie, I think, is playing the averages. And I think in the back of his mind, he is sensing that Barack Obama is probably going to win this election. And when you do the numbers game, okay, Barack Obama wins. 2016, he gets an opportunity to run if he wants to. And people will look back on this, and he wants to be on the right side of this disaster when he looked back. You know, so what better way, you know, instead of going into a war of words with the president about this disaster, than to look bipartisan and come, so he could look back and say, hey, you know, I can work with Democrats and this and that, and what better Democrat to be seen working with than the president of the United States?
Yep, I hear you, Eric. I want to thank you for your call. I'm cutting you off a little bit because there's a bit of a sound in the background, and I don't want to interfere with people's radio. But look, there's two ways to look at Chris Christie's comment. One is the very cynical way that you mentioned, which is that, look, Chris Christie wants to run for president. That's no surprise to anyone. If Barack Obama wins, he can run in 2016. If Mitt Romney wins, he can't run until 2020. And that could be in the back of his mind, if you want to be cynical about it. It could also be that the governor of New Jersey has seen extreme devastation on his state. You know, New Jersey is a lot smaller than New York, so virtually his entire state was devastated, whereas New York, it was, of course, New York City and Long Island, major, major parts of New York State, but those of you in upstate escaped part of it. Look, his state was really devastated, and the president was there. And a good politician does put politics aside. So, you know, you can have the charitable way of looking at it. Perhaps he really does care about his state, or perhaps you can be cynical about it. Either way, it certainly makes sense for Chris Christie to praise the president. And I like to think that he did it for the right reasons. Let me just close. I've got about a minute and a half by making an argument why I think you need to vote for the Democrats, not just for President Obama, but for the Democrats. Part of it has to do with the fact we've had gridlock in government for too long. And one of the interesting things you'll find is if you poll Democrats and Democratic politicians, you'll find that Democrats, Democratic politicians, and liberals support compromise. Conservatives tend not to support any compromise. They do not want government. They want government to be as small as possible. If you're against gridlock, you need to vote for the Democrats. Also at the state level, there's all kinds of crazy things going on. In Florida, they're getting rid of Supreme Court members because private companies think that they can do better if they get rid of a court that actually helps the consumer. In Texas, the Republican governor there is refusing to allow election monitors to watch his state. That sounds pretty crazy. Look, last, I need to say that the economy is getting better. And if you don't believe me, look to Europe, where Germany and other nations in the European Union have practiced the austerity that Romney is supposedly supporting, an austerity that has caused their economy to grow far less fast than us. This was a worldwide recession caused by financial deregulation, and every country on earth suffered, but America's doing better than Europe, we're doing better than China. The next 4 years are going to be tremendous growth because of Obama's policies, because of the stimulus, and I think the president should be around to celebrate his hard work